We come to the seventh commandment in our study of the law, you shall not commit adultery. And let's read a summary of what the Bible teaches about that in the Heidelberg Catechism, found in the back of your songbooks, page 892. And then we'll read from 1 Corinthians 6. Page 892. Those online, it's on the screen before you. Question and answers 108 and 109. As all the commandments are countercultural in a godless age, so is this one. What is God's will for us in the seventh commandment? That God condemns all unchastity, and that we should therefore detest it wholeheartedly and live decent and chaste lives within or outside of the holy state of marriage. Does God in this commandment forbid only such scandalous sins as adultery? We are temples of the Holy Spirit, body and soul. And God wants both to be kept clean and holy. That's why God forbids all unchaste actions, looks, talk, thoughts, or desires, and whatever may incite someone to them. And then let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6. And we'll start to read at verse 9. You see what lives some of these folks in the body of Christ at Corinth were living before Christ saved them, and what temptations still filled their lives and needed constant grace and strength. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 20. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And I want to focus especially with you, brothers and sisters, in verse 13b. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. May God bless his word and help us through it, with it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus, in the Ten Commandments, God lays claim to every part of our life. every part. 10 is a symbolic number for completeness. The Ten Commandments cover all 10 areas of life God has given you. And each commandment covers another part. He lays claim to your religion, no other gods. He lays claim to your worship. Don't worship him the wrong way through carved images. He lays claim to your oaths and promises. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. He lays claim to all your time. 6 days you shall labor, the seventh day you shall rest. He lays claim to our families. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. He lays claim to your relationship with your neighbor. You shall not murder. He lays claim to our sexuality. You shall not commit adultery. He lays claim to all our possessions. You shall not steal. He lays claim to all our speech. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Finally, he lays claim to your desires. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. The number 10 tells you he's got every part of your life covered. The Lord does not believe in your sacred right to private property when it comes to your relationship with him. He's got his fingers in every part of the pie of your life. And all things are open, says the Bible, to him to whom we must give an account. Nothing's hidden from him. In the seventh commandment, God claims rights over your body. Body rights belong to the Lord. In terms of our sexual desire and sexual expression, both inside and outside of marriage, in the seventh commandment, God claims rights over your body. And we want to see two things. First, the one half of verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 6, the body's for the Lord. He has commanding rights, commanding claim over your body. Give your body to the Lord. It's his. And the second is the Lord is for your body. He has protective rights, a protective claim over your body. He cares for you. He's for your body. Amazing. He's for your body. Your body might not feel like that right now, but he's for your body. And we'll show that from the Bible. First then, his commanding rights over our bodies. Your body is for the Lord. Your body was not meant for sexual immorality, says Paul, but for the Lord. He lays a double claim to our bodies as Christians. First, as creator. Our bodies were made in the beginning for the Lord, and that everybody's body, whether they know God or not. We were made in the image of God. That we could resemble him, we could glorify him, not only in our minds and souls, but with our bodies. That we could glorify him in his purity, in his faithfulness, and in his love. That we show that in our bodies, whether married or single. Your body was made for the Lord. Your body was redeemed for the Lord too, saved for the Lord. God made us perfect. But we sinned and we turned away from the Lord. And that created broken minds and hearts and bodies that now serve sin and serve Satan, become slaves to ungodly passions and soul, mind, heart, body, the whole person. God loved our bodies so much and our souls that he sent Jesus in human likeness, in our bodies and soul, to die for us and rise for us, to save us, body and soul. So as Christians, we have a double reason to give our bodies to the Lord, to glorify God with our bodies, the creator claim and the redeemer claim, creation and salvation. Our bodies are for the Lord. And that's what Paul taught in the church at Corinth. But sexual purity was a hard sell in that church because of the rampant immorality in the Greek and Roman culture of Corinth. Sexual immorality was seen as no big deal at all, not a serious issue. Really doesn't matter. You could do whatever you want with your body. Doesn't affect you, doesn't affect others, doesn't affect the Lord. So Jesus clashed through the Apostle Paul with three main errors concerning sexual purity. Three main errors in the Corinthian church. We read about them. Starts in verse 12. All things are lawful for me. That's what they were saying. Nothing sinful for Christians, because Christians are not under the law. They're under grace, and they're free to do whatever they want with their bodies and live a sexual life without regulation, without rules, without boundaries. But Paul's answer is no. You're not free to do anything you want. You have to ask, is it helpful? You have to ask, what's dominating me? Is the Lord ruling my life or sin? What's dominating you? Second error. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food. Sex is just a natural appetite. You can't deny it. You got a craving, you got to follow it. When you're hungry, you eat, right? What's wrong with that? Same with sexual cravings. Paul says, no way. Sex is much more than appetite for food. It's body-soul union with another person. That has a huge impact on yourself, the other person, and especially on your relationship with Christ. It's not the same thing. And the third error of the Corinthians. Food for the body, body for food, God will destroy them both. Body's worth very little. It's discardable. Soul will last forever. But what you do with the body doesn't really matter. The body's just an accessory. But Paul says the body does matter. A lot. A lot. God made our bodies in his image, not just our souls. Jesus died and rose in the body so that the body and the soul belong to him. One day he's going to raise up our bodies. Our bodies are headed for glory as Christians. Paul says, you join your body to a prostitute, you're taking God with you, you're taking Jesus with you. It's the error of today. We sever identity from the body. We put our identity with our desires. And that puts it on not just shaky ground. But puts us in turmoil that really has no resting place. That our find our identity with the way God made us and the one who redeemed us, Jesus. So those were their errors. And all these pagan attitudes toward the body and human sexuality are prevalent today, brothers and sisters. All, and Christians are buying into it. The main error we're sliding toward is that it's your body. And nobody can tell you what to do with your body. It's private property. You own your body. You're lord of your body. You have the right to control your own body the way you want. Your body, your choice. Your body, your choice. Your body, your choice. Keeps going. And here are the applications that come out of that. The results. Your body, your choice. You own your body. So nobody can tell you whether you identify as male or female or something else. It's private. It's your choice, your business. God says, no. It's my choice. I'm your creator and owner. I made you. I made you male. I made you female. Your body is mine. It's for me. And for the Christian, it's doubly true. Jesus said, I came to redeem you as either male or female, to live for the Lord. Your body is mine, says Jesus. Your sexuality belongs to me. God knows that the fall into sin has impacted not only our souls, but also our bodies. It affects our sexuality. So there is something called gender dysphoria. People can really struggle with their sexuality and have strong cravings to identify as a different gender. That's real. Don't laugh at it. It's real. You got your issues too. It might not be that one. You got your sexual issues too. So do I. But what's the answer? Don't be a law unto yourself and choose whatever your feelings are telling you. Because our feelings are often self-destructive and destructive to others. Don't take the pathway of loathing the body that God gave you and to loathe others too. Christ says, no, your body's for me. Dedicate your body to me. Even when there's that fight with those feelings, those cravings, our sexual sins and distortions. And help one another through struggles with identity as well. And affirm and love the body Christ gave you. God made you and Christ redeemed for you. Offer that body to him as a living sacrifice. That's the pathway to freedom, body freedom, soul freedom. To acknowledge the rights and claims of King Jesus over our bodies, not just our minds and souls. My body is the Lord's. I will do with it what pleases him. That's our calling. It's the concept of stewardship, right? I'm not an owner, I'm a steward. A steward's one who's in charge of someone else's possessions and takes the best care of it he can according to the owner's wishes. God's the owner of our bodies. We're the stewards. It's not only true when it comes to gender, but also abortion. My body belongs to God who made me in Christ, who redeemed me. So does the body of the child growing within me. It's not mine to dispose of however I wish. That body too is the Lord's. And God knows that there can be deep distress in this matter. And once in a rare while, a pregnancy can get to a point where either the mother's going to die or the baby or both. And then God does call us to make a choice, but to do it in faith, to please him, to acknowledge that we belong to the Lord. This is for his glory. Human life is created in God's image and must be treated with utmost dignity and respect. That's a sixth commandment issue we've talked about. But also seventh, your body is for the Lord. And the same is true when it comes to every other wrong sexual desire and action, homosexuality, pornography, and every other issue. We must offer our bodies to the Lord in a way that follows his will, pleases him, for he loves us and he knows what is best. Even and especially in our struggles with wrong desires, both inside and outside of marriage, God hates unchastity. And we must share that same hatred as our God does. We said that, we confessed that in the catechism. God condemns all unchastity, and we should therefore detest it wholeheartedly. And that includes helping others. One person, Mark Yarhouse, in his book on gender dysphoria, talks about how people can be in the valley of struggling, as Christians, struggling with wrong affections. And they've got friendly brothers and sisters who are not in the valley but on the mountaintop, shouting down, God is good! He'll take care of you! He'll help you bear your cross! And then Mark Yarhouse says, and then there are those who come down the mountain to walk with you through the valley and help you and share your life with you and are willing to listen and help in so many different ways. It's important for us to remember. It's part of detesting it, hating it, is to help others in their fight. And let others help us share with them. Let others help us. And brothers and sisters, our bodies belong to God inside marriage, true. Treat your spouse's body with dignity as a body that belongs to the Lord. Sometimes in marriage, we don't treat our spouse's body properly. Not the object of our selfish desires. And remember that our sexual desires are to be for him or for her only, our spouse, not for anyone else. Jesus says, whoever looks at a woman lustfully has committed adultery with her in his heart. Matthew 5. The same is true when we're not married. Keep the marriage bed pure. Commit your desires to the Lord and avoid fornication. Being sexually active before marriage is handing your body and soul over to sin, because the Lord requires a commitment, a covenant commitment to another person before you touch him or her sexually. That's for our safety, it's for his glory, lest we become poachers, predators, stealing that which is not ours. Your body belongs to the Lord, dear single brother, dear single sister. So does the other person. Brothers and sisters, God hates unchastity so much that he sent his son to earth in our bodies to face our temptations to sin and to feel our cravings in his own body and to obey the Lord God where we failed him and to pay the price for all our sin, including our sexual sins. And that's what we want to see secondly. Not only is the body for the Lord, but the Lord is for the body. He's for your body, not against it. And his rights are over you. His rights over you are protective rights, not just commanding rights. Your body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. The Lord is meant for the body. It's an amazing statement. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. And Jesus Christ is proof positive of this. He's for your body. He loves you, body and soul. Yes, he loves your body too. Not in a way that exploits you or objectifies you or takes advantage of you, but in a way that helps you in your suffering and temptation, helps you in your sins and failures, helps you in your hurts and fears. Now, for some, this is totally frightful. What? God owns my body. Jesus has the rights over my body. I'll never let anybody else have the rights over my body besides me. It's a common thing, right? Especially if you don't know Jesus and how good he is. But what a better place than Jesus to entrust your body's safety. To entrust your body's safety to a man who's all-powerful and all-loving to protect you. Who loves you so much, he entered your humanity as a body and soul sexual being and gave up his life for you to save you from all your sins. To rescue not only your soul, but also your body from the fires of hell. That's God's just punishment for all our sins. And also to heal you from all your woes and afflictions and hurts bodily. And then he arose again to give you new life in your soul and in your body, so that one day your body too will rise and be totally free from all bad memories and sinful cravings and disordered attractions, free from the sufferings of abuse and mutilation. The Lord is for the body. The Lord is for the body. He came to earth as the child born of Mary to live out our life. Let me mention four ways Jesus is for the body. Four ways Jesus is for the body. First, in our flesh, as the Son of Mary, Jesus, the Son of God, faced every temptation and craving for us. In our bodies, In the human body and soul and mind, Jesus, the Son of God, faced every temptation and craving we face. Every one. There's nothing you could bring to him you'd say, oh, I've never dealt with that. Yet he never sinned. He never gave in. So that we have in him, number one, somebody who understands our weaknesses and pains. And number two, somebody who can help us walk through them and lead us to final victory. Listen to Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. We do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted like we are. One who in every respect has been tempted like we are, but without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Help us in time of need. So that's number one. He faced every temptation and craving we face so that he might understand and help us through them. Number two, in spite of the temptations he faced, he lived a life of perfect purity in relationship to God his Father and in relationship to all the men and women who surrounded him. And for someone with his popularity among the crowds, don't kid yourself how hard this must have been. But he lived a life of perfect purity in all his relationships. So that in his perfect purity and righteousness and obedience, when you trust in him, God gives that to you as a free credit. Clothes you in Christ's perfect righteousness and purity so that it's your own. Covers all your impurity and unrighteousness. What a gift. That's the second thing. Lived a life of perfect purity so that that righteousness could be given to us. The third thing, he did even more. He not only lived a life of perfect purity in soul and body, but he took upon himself all our sins. The Lord laid on his son all our iniquities, including our wrong desires, our lusts, our adultery in heart, mind, mouth, and body, and every sexual sin, every improper way of treating husband, wife. Walt Heyer, in his book, The Faith of a Transgender, a man who had gender reassignment surgery, and then the Lord saved him, knows that the Lord has rescued him from the abuse he suffered as a child and also forgiven his wrong choices following that abuse as an adult. That Jesus carried both of them to the cross and destroyed them in his own body and soul, so he's free. He's free. And then the fourth thing. He faced our temptation and cravings, yet never sinned. He conquered them. He lived a perfectly pure life so that that purity could cover our impurity. He took our impurities upon himself and died for us, perished in our place, so we could be forgiven. But the last thing, Walt Heyer also knows that Jesus has done something more for him. That when Jesus rose on Easter Sunday, he rose with a new and glorious body, strong, immortal, flawless. And Jesus says that what he will do with our bodies one day, when we give our lives to him in faith, that he will transform our lowly bodies to become like his glorious body, and we shall live together with all the saints, with God in heaven and on earth, in heaven on earth, with perfect bodies, pure desires. Walt's body, now mutilated, will one day be perfect. Wow. Is God for the body or not? He was in the Garden of Eden in giving Adam and Eve a body made in his image and putting them in a perfect place. Is he for the body or not? Look at what he sent his son to do, and look what his son has done for us. It's amazing. As creator and as redeemer, God is for our bodies. And now, decrepit, worn out, hurt, abused, he's got that covered. And one day, you'll be totally free from whatever aches and ails you now. God loves our bodies so much that when Jesus saves us and we belong to Him, He takes our bodies and makes them a temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? It's shocking. My body and my mind and all the places where it's been, all that it's gone through, all its weaknesses and cravings that still live in me, that's where the Holy Spirit wants to make His home? You talk about grace. But there's so much glory, comfort, and calling in this. So much glory. My body is not worthless. It's not an accessory. It's me, together with my soul, made in God's image, redeemed by Jesus Christ. It's God's house, the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the triune residence. My body matters to God a lot. There's so much glory in that. And secondly, so much comfort that I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit in all my struggles and temptations. I'm not my own. I'm not alone. There's somebody living in me who knows and feels what's going on. I have a powerful advocate, the Holy Spirit, who strengthens me and helps me pray and gives me the body of Christ and friends to walk with me, giving them gifts to help me and me gifts to help them. Comfort. And there's so much calling in that. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit to fight against sin, also sexual sin, to flee from it, to help others fight it. One of the Puritans said that with many temptations, you can reason your way out of them. But he said, with sexual temptation, you don't reason, you run. Verse 18, flee sexual immorality. You run. Don't put yourself in harm's way. Proverbs says, don't go near her door. Stay away. Put into your life filters, friendships. Focus on Christ to fill you, protect you, hold you accountable. If you're sneaking off and on your own, enjoying the lusts of the flesh, that cannot end well. The Lord is for your body and has provided what you need to rescue you from that. But you've got to go to Him and to His people for help. You cannot do this alone. Do it today. Call me, call a friend, call a counselor. The Lord is for your body. Don't be afraid to give Him the rights over your body. Final question. Do you think your body is safer if you own it and you have exclusive rights to it? I tell you, not a chance. You are not trustworthy enough to be the owner of your body. We can be very foolish and self-destructive and enslaved to evil passions. Your body is not safe with you. The proof is all around us and in us. What about if another ordinary human being has exclusive rights to my body? A really kind person. Well, that person's not powerful enough to save you and not all loving either and can also be seduced by evil passion. There's only one safe place for your body, and that's God. Give the rights to your body over to the Lord. Follow His perfect commandments. Your body is for the Lord. And accept His perfect protection. The Lord is for your body. Amen.